right. I spoke to Matt this afternoon. Everything's fine for them out there. And we talked a little bit about the Blackburns being there, and he's excited to think that another family's coming over to Congo, wherever they come to be in the work over there. And also that there might be a family with this many kids coming over there. Stephen's guy got his two sisters to play with. When he heard how many boys there were, he got excited. His birthday was Wednesday, and so we got to call him and say happy birthday to him today. So we're glad to have the Blackburn family here with us, and as they're raising their support to go to Congo. Brother Nick, you come ahead, sir, and take your time preaching.
Well, amen.
Again, I'm on. Yes, sir. And, like I said earlier, it's a blessing to be here and an honor. If you would, Luke chapter number one. I want to say again, apologize about the technical difficulties. I didn't know the electricity in this town was that bad. So I will say this, if you're enjoying this warm weather, I will take credit for it following me up the highway. It was, my wife does not like the cold weather. I went in December. Like I said, I spent the month of December over there, and we seen about between my son and I. My son Levi preached to the young to the children over there. Then I preached to adults. We seen 238 professions of faith in three different church services, and it sparked an interest in young folks over there. The young folks over there said, "Hey, why can't we preach like the little white missionary boy?" And so the young men over there are interested. They're excited about wanting to learn to preach over there. So that's something that we want to do. I was telling the pastor today, there's a church, Congo Gospel Mission, which was, you've seen on the board, was started in 1917 by Anton Anderson. And Anton Anderson graduated Moody Bible Institute up in Chicago, hopped on a steamer and got to Matadi over there, which is where the furthest port inland you can get, and then got up to Kinshasa, bought his supplies, walked 500 miles in the interior, and established a mission station in 1917 in a town called Chinny. And then in the 50s and 60s, June 30th, 1960, the Belgians granted the Congolese their freedom, and a lot of tribal fighting started then, a lot of tribal warfares, and they moved Congo Gospel Mission to the capital city. That mission station is still there, still owned by Congo Gospel Mission, but nobody has done anything with it. And make a long story short, fast forward 15 years ago, Brother Wells winds up in the Congo, and one of Anton Anderson's grandsons had control of Congo Gospel Mission and walked in. Brother Wells came in, and Anderson was leaving, and he said, "Here, Congo Gospel Mission is yours." And now Brother Wells has spent the last 15 years ironing some things out, getting some things established, and now it is ready to move forward. Here's the deal. Brother Wells is getting older. His health, like Pastor said, he's home right now because of health reasons. His wife has gotten very sick over there. They had to come back to the States because they could not figure out how to help her over there. The work is still going on over there. He is still controlling it. But somebody needs to be there to help oversee that, keep that work going. And so we're excited about getting there. One of the areas we visited was called Kinkole. And Kinkole has a church there, but they recently built a school, and it slipped my mind, but I have a little computer I could have set up with some pictures. But in that church with that school, they have 300 students coming to that school daily, and they're not really doing anything to evangelize those children, to get the gospel in the classroom, to have a chapel service, or to reach the families of those children, because some of the children that come are not members of the church. Their parents aren't members. The church has about 75 people in it, and so not to their detriment, but they're missing a great opportunity to evangelize a lot of lost people. And so I am seriously praying. I believe the Lord is leading me that way to get into that area and work with that particular church and evangelize and work with that school. I've worked with young men for years, teenage boys here in America, and the grade goes all the way from little bitty all the way up to senior high school, and so it'd be a great opportunity for my family to get in there and work, and that's what we're praying about doing right now, to get in and help those churches over there, pick up where Brother Wells has left off, And we're excited. We really are. And just in the Lord's timing, when we get there, we'll get there. People have asked me target dates. I'd like to have been there yesterday, personally. But that's not the Lord's will, and I've got to have some wisdom about some things. I've got to have support. And I've also got to have, and I'll just be honest, we still need some time as a family. And so we're just taking it day by day, day at a time. Luke chapter number 1, if you have any questions, do you mind if I ask if there's any questions right now, preacher? Is there any questions about me or my family or the work over there, something maybe I missed? Yes, ma'am. Right, that was another work that was a work that we visited over there, and that was another school, an Independent Baptist Church over there, and that was a school that the government gave them the land and the school. It was very bad disarray. They've taken over, built a church on the property, and they've taken a lot of kids from the community their school is open to the community, just like the King Holy Church is. The name of it, I cannot remember their church. But that is a school there, and we went and visited, and that's what eventually we'd like to do with the King Coley Church. But that was my trip in 2008. We just discovered King Coley had that school back in December. Is that it? I must be doing pretty good, I guess. Luke chapter number 1. I want to preach tonight. I'm not a long-winded preacher. I'm not bragging. God is just the way... I guess God's geared me. I'm used to preaching here for years at the boys' home, 30 minutes or so. There's been times I went longer than that, but a lot of mornings and stuff, getting them, and the boys, we did devotions twice a day. Excuse me. But I want to preach tonight on this thought, why I am going to the Congo, and where is your Congo? Now, listen to me. There is you've heard the preaching. The world is the mission field. I've been in churches where you're going out the door, right above the doors. They have put the sign, you are now entering your mission field. Listen to me. God has a mission field for everybody where they're at any point in their life. You say, what's that? I'm just a grocery clerk. I maybe walk down at Walmart, and they don't allow me to pass out tracts. Your life, listen to me, is a mission field. That is your mission field, and your life is a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. People see you. People watch you. People are wanting to know why you are different. I've been in stores. I've been in restaurants, and people, of course, nowadays in this day and hour, you see a family my size. People look at you like you're crazy, and you know, the first thing that's out of their mouth is, are they all yours? No, I borrowed some from the neighbor down the road. No, they are all mine. But listen to me. You say, what's that? People are watching you. And listen to me. Your life represents Jesus Christ, whether you believe it or not. What you say, what you do, what you wear is a testimony of Jesus Christ if you claim Him to be your personal Savior. And so you need to find out where your mission field is tonight. And I want to preach on why some points of why I'm going to the Congo. Luke chapter number 1, and Luke chapter number 1, verse number 77 says this, to give knowledge of salvation unto His people by the remission of their sins. Now I know that His people are the Jews, but listen to me. The Bible says the Lord is not willing that any. Last time I looked in Webster's 1828, any means red, white, black, and yellow, polka dotted purple. God is not willing that any should perish. Christ died upon the cross for mankind. And listen to me, that love is still there, that salvation, that blood is still free. Man has the choice to say, I reject it, I do not want it, I do not want what He's done for me. I want to live my life. But it is our job to tell this world, to give knowledge of salvation. Verse 78, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring on high hath visited us. Verse 79 is my first point. To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. To guide our feet in the way of peace. Let's pray. Father, Thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to preach. God, I pray that you'd help me to be, Lord, mindful. Lord, help my tongue to say what you'd have me to say and nothing more. God, I pray that you'd bless. Lord, thank you for salvation. Lord, thank you for the call of God. Lord, I love you. Lord, please honor your book. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dr. Homer Smith said this years ago, and I heard him say it, missions is a race against death for the souls of men. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. That is a judgment passed upon all men that nobody can escape. You either go by the grave, or you'll go by the rapture, or you'll go by the fact that your life ends somewhere. Everybody, because of the sin of Adam, everybody is going to quit breathing upon this earth, and their soul is going to go somewhere depending on what they do with Jesus Christ. But listen to me. It says in verse 39, to give light to them that sit in darkness. You say, what's that? All right, you've seen on my slides there, I gave your pastor a coin tonight. The United States Marine Corps detachment there, and many of you might have spent some time in the military. I was never allowed in the military because of my right arm. They would not let me join. I desired, to be honest with you, I tried to get into the United States Marine Corps because I had a brother at the time I graduated and was in the Corps. He went through the first Desert Storm, and in my eyes, he was the toughest thing that walked. He could chew nails and spit out barbed wire fence. But the United States Marine Corps detachment stationed at the United States Embassy over there, like other military units have monikered themselves. Like I was saying, I worked with Lockheed Martin on Tyndall Air Force Base, working with the 325th Fighter Wing, and in that fighter wing they had individual fighter squadrons. They had the 1st Fighter Squadron and the 2nd Fighter Squadron and the 95th, and they all had a moniker, and they all had a title or a like a slogan. And the United States Marine Corps detachment there in Kinshasa called themselves Congo Warriors in the Heart of Darkness. That is their moniker. A secular world, you say, separation of church and state, but they take the very words of God and use it as their own. They work, they are laboring there in the Heart of Darkness. And there in Congo, David Livingstone called it, David Livingstone called the continent, the dark continent, the continent of Africa, excuse me. But I'm telling you tonight, the people there in the Congo sit in darkness tonight. It's listen to me, I've got to take 2 trips over there. You have a missionary out of this church over there, and you can see the oppression, the spiritual oppression over there from false religions tonight. There's spiritual darkness there in the Congo tonight because of false religions. You say, what's that? Well, do you know that the Catholic Church over there is the largest landowner in the city of Kinshasa? I got to drive past the while I was there in December. They own a compound. One wall of the compound is a mile long. You say, what's that? Them people are over there damning those people. Those people have nothing. They don't have a lot of money. And then their church is demanded that they come in and give their tithes and try to buy their way into heaven and to worship their false idols and to worship Mary and to light a candle. And listen to me, and they leave that place going in there hoping for hope, never to receive it, to go out with the same despair and the same judgment, that they'll die in their sins without Jesus Christ. You say, what's that? False religions are causing darkness. You say, here in America, there's a false religion. You say, what's that? It's called apathy here in America. You listen to me, folks. There is a problem here in America, a country that was founded on the Bible, that our forefathers laid their hands on their Bible, that they prayed for the almighty providence of God when they decided to break ties with England and say, we want the providential hand of God to lead us. And they laid their hands on a Bible and said, we want the God of the Bible to be the God of America. And now the religion of apathy in America reigns and rules, and people don't care nothing about religion no more. I guarantee you this morning, people drove by and sneered at this church. You got scripture out there. It says King James Bible on the front of them, and they look at you and you say, oh, what a bunch of nuts. You say, what's that? It's a false religion. I don't believe nothing. You can say, well, I don't believe. I'm an agnostic. You understand, if you understand anything about English, if you break the word down, agnostic, letter A means nothing. Gnostic means knowledge. And so a person claims they're an agnostic, look at them and say, so you know nothing. It's no use to argue with you. Just wear a sign. I don't know nothing. You say, what's that? False religion. Listen to me, around here today, listen to me, this country is ran over by humanism, by self-help, by just feel sorry for yourself and just do good for yourself. Listen to me, it's false religion. And it's damning people. You try to talk to them about the Bible, you try to pass out a tract. I've been street preaching, and I've been in Walmart, I've been in Kmart, I've been in Lowe's, and you try to hand people a gospel tract here in America and say, "Sir, can I give you something about the Lord Jesus Christ? Sir, can I give you something that'll help you today?" And they'll look at that tract and say, "I don't need that. I don't want that." You say, "What's that?" That's the spirit of apathy. I'll tell you a funny story about Walmart, or excuse me, Lowe's. I was in Searcy, Arkansas. There's a pastor out there I'm very good friends with. And the Lord has graciously allowed us the last 5-6 years to go to his camp meeting every year. Brother Kenneth McFadden, I don't know if you've ever met him, brother. But Brother McFadden's been out there for years. And we got to go there. And was that 2 or 3 years ago, Karen? You remember that? Lowe's, Brother McFadden always has me stay at his house. And then he moves into a little camper at church because of feeding and stuff like that. And so Brother McFadden, I stay at his house and I handle phone calls for him and direct him whatever needs to go. And I get this call one day, and it's the local Lowe's down in Searcy, Arkansas, and say, "Yes, is this Pastor McFadden?" And I said, I didn't hear her say, "Is this Pastor McFadden's house?" I said, "Yes, it is." I thought that, I'm sorry, that's what she said. And she goes, "Well, Pastor McFadden, we got a problem." I said, "What's that?" She said, "Well, I'm such and such from the Lowe's down here, and some of your people were down here passing out tracts, and they decided to stick them all over the store." And I said, "Do you have a problem with that?" "Well, we have a no soliciting policy." I said, "Really?" I said, "Well, I've been down there when you've had Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts standing outside begging for money." I said, "You're soliciting for money, but I'm giving you something away. We weren't soliciting nothing." Listen to me. Somebody ever throws that in your face, you don't solicit the gospel. The Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. You buy a tract, give it away. You give the word of God away. I said, "We weren't soliciting." I said, "We were giving away the gospel of Jesus Christ." She said, "Well, you can't do that." I said, "Oh, so you have a problem with Jesus Christ is what you're telling me." "No, that's not what I'm saying. I go to church." I said, "So you have a problem with us passing out the gospel of Jesus Christ?" "Well, sir, the store policy." I said, "Ma'am, does the store policy supersede Jesus Christ?" "Thank you, Mr. McFadden. You have a nice day." And she hung up the phone. You said, "What's that?" "It's the spirit of darkness. They're trying to buffalo people." Why? Because they don't want people getting saved. The devil does not want people getting saved. And he wants to keep us in darkness. He wants to keep those people in darkness over there. Listen to me. The government is another way that keeps them in darkness over there. The Mobutu, when it was a country of Zaire for 40 years, they estimate the Mobutu stole $40 billion in 4 years, $1 billion a year, stealing from his own people. Why? Because he don't care about it. And listen to me, I respect the president and I respect the office of it, but he don't care nothing about this country. He cares about himself. And listen to me, it is up to us to get the gospel out, and it is us, listen to me, a dollar bill is not going to help those people over there. It may temporarily help a physical problem at the moment. It may temporarily solve a temporary problem. But listen to me, the problem of them waking up the next day and not knowing whether they're going to heaven or not is a bigger problem. You say, "What's that?" Because of darkness. The devil has kept this world in darkness. That's his key. Why? Because he's an enemy of God. And listen to me, he'll get it any way he'll go. And listen to me, he'll steal the church folks' heart. We'll get apathetic sitting in the church. And listen to me, we won't care. We'll fail to pray for a missionary. We'll fail to give our faith promise. And listen to me, all we're doing is keeping people in darkness. Listen to me, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, probably many of you know this verse, and verse number 9, excuse me, it says, "For a great door in effectual was opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." The biggest adversary is the devil, we know that. But believe it or not, folks, I believe we're our own biggest adversary. Because we get focused on things that we got to do. And listen to me, life throws everything at you. I can personally testify to that. Things get thrown at you to get you sidetracked, to get you off of what God's put your mind, put your heart on, what you've set your heart to do. Listen to me. But there is a door. The door of the gospel is still open to give the gospel out in this country. And it is our responsibility. It is our duty to get the gospel out, to put the missions offering in, to make sure that the gospel gets out somewhere, somehow. The door is still open. Wait, listen to me. They have not taken our Bible from us in this country yet. They have not taken our freedom of speech yet. They're trying slowly day by day. But listen to me. The door is still open. The rapture has not happened. Listen to me. Grace has not left this country yet. God is still in the saving business. Listen to me. The night I surrendered to go to the Congo, 11 boys. It was just an unusual service. Listen to me. And a desire came upon me. And that's my second point, 2 Samuel Number 23, 2 Samuel 23. Listen to me. There's darkness over there. There is darkness. But I'm going to tell you my second point. There's a desire tonight. There are people out there hungering for something different. Hungering for something different in their life. You say, what's that? They're tired of their life. They're tired. Listen to me. The night I got saved, I was tired of my life. I was tired of the sin I was in. I was tired of the rut. I was tired of Nick Blackburn making a mess out of Nick Blackburn's life. And I had a desire for something different in my life. 2 Samuel 23, verse number 15. Let me get in 2 Samuel. I'm in Chronicles. I don't think I've ripped that out of my Bible yet. But the night I got saved, I'm telling you what, I was thirsty. I was wanting something different in my life. I was tired. I was tired of just running into the walls. And I'll tell you what, that wall, I'll be honest with you, that wall was the Lord Jesus Christ. He had been dealing my soul, dealing with me about getting right and getting saved. Verse 14, and David then was in a hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was in Bethlehem. Of course, you know David was fighting and carrying on, and it talks about his mighty men there. And then David here, he was in this hold, and the Philistines had captured Bethlehem. And David makes this statement. He said, and David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water that is of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. David had a desire that night. He had a desire that night. Let me ask you, do you have a desire to tell others about Jesus Christ? Listen, I've seen a couple cars up there got magnets on it. Listen to me, you don't, I said it earlier, your life. Listen, I don't know how many times I've had magnets. I don't have them on the van right now, but I do got a sticker. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I don't know how many times I've been told I'm number one because of that. But people don't like it. But listen, I got a desire. I don't have a desire to see people go to hell. The Bible says hell was not created for the devil and his angels. That's what we need to get back to, folks. Listen to me, this country, when she had the great revivals, why don't we have a great revivals no more? Because America's lost her desire. Churches has lost her desire to get the gospel out. Years ago, and I know that people have compromised, but years ago, back when this was the only Bible there was, and you could get the Presbyterians, and you could get the Baptists, and you could get the Methodists together, and the gospel of Jesus Christ was preached straight and true, and there wasn't no compromising. I'm telling you what, there was a desire to see people saved and lives changed. But I've seen a desire in the Congo that I'd never seen in my life. I'm 36 years old. I'm not a very smart man, and listen to me, I've got a high school education outside of what God's taught me under preaching and reading that book and reading some other books to help and studying that book. Listen to me. But I've seen something in some people, some saved Congolese over there I've never seen in America. Oh, I've met pastors and met people that get desire and hunger for, but listen to me, I've seen a desire in people that listen to me, to get the gospel further out, that wanted to work. I was telling you about that one guy that came in from the interior, from in around Kitwick, and that his name was Pastor Timothy, and he heard the white man was coming and somehow scrounged up 50 American dollars, rode 3 days on the back of a cargo truck just to sleep on a dirt church floor, so he could hear the Americans preach and teach something out of the Bible, and he could write it down and take it back into that interior. He said, what's that? He's got a desire for his own people. Listen, we don't even have a desire for our neighbors no more. We don't have a desire for our neighbors no more. You say, what's that? Why are you saying that? Well, the Lord smote my heart the other day. My neighbor lives down the road. He's got some health problems. He come up, and I've got a tow dolly to tow cars around. He came up and borrowed it, and he was having problems, and so I rode down there to help him fix it. Put the tires on and talk to him a second. And he talks about the Lord, but he don't go to church. And the Lord smote my heart and said, man, why don't you talk to him about the Lord and invite him to church? You say, what's that? Because our desires are self anymore. We don't have a desire for those around us. We don't have, listen to me, I've seen tracks back here, and listen to me, I wonder how often that track rack has to be refilled. I mean, do you just grab some and take them out? My landlord there where I live, Big Daddy, he's 73 years old, his knees are gone out, and he's got bad health. But listen to me, Big Daddy, once a month he takes 20 tracks, goes through the phone book and finds 20 names, writes a letter, sticks a track in there, and mails it. You say, what's that? He's still got a desire. When he first got saved, Brother Big Daddy told me, he told me these stories. When he first got saved, him and his buddies would go out days on end. They'd work 8, 10, 12 hours a day and come home and go out and door knock 3 and 4 hours. Come in bed about midnight, get back up, and start all over again. You say, what's that? A desire. A desire to tell people what's happened to you. Why you're different. Why you're not like the rest of the world. But there's a desire over there tonight. Listen to me, those men there at the end of the video, they were down after that pastor school we closed up there back last April. Excuse me. And those men got down and said, only you, Lord, can do something different in our country. Listen to me. This book and the gospel of Jesus Christ is what's going to change that country. I'm not going to do it myself. Listen to me. I am not taking American church over there. I'm taking the gospel of Jesus Christ in the Bible. Why is that? I got a desire to see some Congolese saved. I've got a desire to do something with my life for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you have that desire tonight? I ask you. Where's your desire? Where does your desire lay? Is it desire in a ball game? Listen to me. I love sports. I'm a Steelers fan. When I started getting into football, we're turning to John chapter 4. When I started catching on football and stuff like that, but listen to me, is the Steelers game more important than the preaching down at the house of God? I'm a big sports nut. I'm probably a sports nut to a fault. That should be my desire. Our desire should be the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe it's Deuteronomy. Let me turn over here real quick. Deuteronomy, my mind, I believe it's Deuteronomy chapter 6. It's still in the Bible, I believe it is. I believe that Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 5, chapter 6 verse 4 says, Hear, O Israel, Lord, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and all thy might. You say, what's that? That's your desire. That's your desire. And listen to me, if you don't love the Lord God with all thine heart, you're going to love, something else is going to replace that love. And I'm not saying you shouldn't have hobbies. Listen to me. I like to sit down with a good book sometimes and just get my mind off everything and forget about things for a little bit and just read and write out west. I like western stories, cowboy stories. But listen to me. That shouldn't be my love. I love racing. I love you get speeding tickets to prove it too. But listen to me. What's your desire? Listen to me. You know your desire shouldn't be you. You should be at the bottom of the list. You should be Lord first than anybody. And I know you've heard it, but the word joy, my stepmom that my dad's married to now is joy. But I learned this years ago. If you'll put Jesus first, then others, then put yourself last, you'll have real joy. Your desire shouldn't be you. Your desire should be, God, what can I do for you today? God, you saved me. You saved me out of a mess. God, I deserve hell. Listen to me. I know what kind of fool I am. I know where I would be tonight without the gospel of Jesus Christ. It wouldn't be in a church house, I promise you that. Where's your desire tonight? The last thing, why I'm going to Congo, why you need to... Listen to me. This pastor, he told me how he wound up here. This is his Congo right here. Now, he's sharing it tonight, shares it with other preachers, I promise you. But this is his Congo. And this is where God's got him, and this is what God is blessing him in, and what God is using him in. And you need to find out where you're... Listen to me. This is where his desire is. It's his desire to keep darkness out of this pulpit, to keep darkness out of this church. His desire is to let the light of this gospel, let the light of this book shine forth in this community. But you need to find your congo. There's some young folks sitting in here. Listen to me. Listen to me. It might be your congo just to submit to your parents with a good attitude. That might be just your congo in your life. You say, why is that? Why is that? That's why God gave you parents. Because I wasn't at 15, 16 years old. I wasn't smart enough to figure it out. My dad, listen to me. I wasn't smart enough to listen to my dad at 15, 16 years old. I've had to go back and eat crow and tell my dad, I'm sorry, I wish I'd have listened to you. But maybe your congo is to sit here and listen to your mom and dad. Hey, church member, maybe your congo is to sit here and listen to that man and let him guide you. Hey, listen to me. All God may want you to do is go down to the workhouse, be a testimony right there. Listen to me, God is not going to call everybody to Africa. He is not going to call everybody to be into the pulpit. He is not going to call everybody. Listen to me, but He has called you to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ and to get the gospel out where you are at. I never met the guy personally, but a very good friend of mine told me that a man down around Jacksonville, Florida, a millionaire, he supports 100 missionaries for $1,000 a month. You say, what's that? He runs his business, successful businessman, but he gives, and this was years ago that he told me this, and I've asked him about it. The guy's still doing it. He's a personal friend. He doesn't support him, but he's a personal friend. He gives other men money to missions projects. You say, what's that? That's where that man wants that. That's where God wants that millionaire, just putting that gospel, that money out. God may have you here to pray for those missionaries and just listen and love on them. Support that pastor. That might be your congo, but you need to get... Listen to me, you'll be so happy when you find out where your congo is. I've met hundreds upon thousands of Christians who are not happy. You say, what's that? They don't want to know what the congo is for their life. They want to go do this. They want to go do that. Their pastor says, please sit here and wait. Please wait. Just wait. God will move you when you're ready. I met a missionary, a good friend of mine, Brother Chad Wells, going to New Guinea. He submitted. His dad's been a missionary, Brother Dennis Wells. I don't know if you know him. His dad's been a missionary over there for years. His brother's been over there 10 years, Brother Brad Wells. And Chad knew as a teenage boy that God had called him to be a missionary to New Guinea before he ever married, before he ever finished high school. Listen to me. His dad used to let him go off months after. He would go off with the men over there hunting in the woods be gone for months on end, would go and walk miles into the mountains of New Guinea. Parents wouldn't see him for 3 months, no communication. They'd kill pigs or whatever, send the meat back to the village, and that's how word would get back, 2 or 3 months or weeks at a time, months on end. Chad knew it as a teenage boy, God had called him to the mission field. But he came home and sat under his pastor, and his pastor said, just wait, Chad. Just wait. Just wait. Just trust me. Just wait. Chad said, okay, God, you put this pastor over me. Listen to me. He knows your desire for my life, and I'm going to trust him. And Chad sat there for 15 years. Just did his best, supported his pastor, was active in the church, helped with youth ministry, did everything he wanted his pastor asked him to do to the best of his ability, was the best worker on his job at the time. And he'd worked. In fact, he'd worked himself so high up in his job that Chad said that one of the top CEOs of the company flew up from Memphis, Tennessee, on a private jet and offered him a job that'll put him almost in a 7-figure salary and would set him up for life. And he told him. He said, "No." He said, "My call is in New Guinea." And his pastor looked at him and said, "Okay, Chad, you're ready to go." Chad raised his support in a little over a year. He'll be going to the field later. You say, what's that? He just submitted himself and got happy in the congo God had put him in and was happy where God had him right that moment and didn't try to run anywhere else and didn't try to seek and didn't try to do it on his own. And God's putting and he's going. He'll be there later this year. I talk to him all the time. Excellent missionary. But listen, you need to find out where your congo is. Why I'm going to Congo is because there's a drink tonight. Therefore, in John chapter 4, it said, therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Do you see that Jesus Christ went on purpose wherever he went? Christ never happened. Listen to me. It wasn't just out there, and it was in the stars, and it was just by chance or coinky dink. Christ was on a mission, and his mission was to go by and see this little Samaritan girl. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Then cometh a woman of Samaria. And if you know anything, the Samaritans and Jews didn't have nothing to do with each other. They were like oil and water. But there was a woman whose heart was in darkness, and she had a desire for something different. Verse 8, for his disciples were going away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria to him, how is it thou, being a Jew, askest meat drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. Do you know what? 90% of most people don't know that they need Jesus Christ. There's people out there that are lost, and they know they need him, but they don't want him. But probably I'm just surmising about 90% of most people don't know that they need Jesus Christ. There are saved people that don't realize they need Jesus Christ to help them daily through their life. And you say, they're saved, yes, but their life's a mess. You say, why is that? Because the lost person that was running their life is a saved person still trying to run their life. And they're still making a mess out of it. But here, this woman, she had something different. She wanted something. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep, and from whence then hast thou living water? Thou art thou greater than our father Jacob? You know what she's got? This woman's got religion. Because she goes back to Jacob. You know what most people say? You know, are you saved? I grew up in church. Are you saved? Well, my daddy's a deacon. Are you saved? Well, I go to Catholic church over here. I go to such and such Methodist church. I go to such and such Baptist church. I didn't ask that. Are you saved? Are you born again? People got religion. They don't have Jesus Christ. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said to her, whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again. You know that many people tonight, like I said, I've worked 6 years with young men. And I'd ask them, so why did you keep going back? When you realized the dope and the drugs weren't happy, why did you keep going back to it? And almost every time the answer was, I don't know. It was a temporary fix. Verse 14, but Jesus Christ gives her the out. Whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water. There's that desire. That I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. You say, what's that? That woman got a drink of water that night. I remember August the 13th, 1997. I was 23 years old. And I thought I had the tiger by the tail. I went to church. It was a joke at the time. Some of the men in the church, they wouldn't really bet, but they would try to guess which time I'd fall asleep because I sat right up front and most of them sat in the back by the time I'd nod off in church. That's what church was to me. It was religion. And I sat there and I'd nod off. And when I was at work, my normal shift was 4 to 12. And I worked every weekend I could to make overtime. So Sunday mornings is about all I got in. That's about where America is today, Sunday mornings. 2 hours and we're done. And pastor, if you go beyond 12:15, we're cutting your salary at the next business meeting. Y'all haven't done that to him, have y'all? But I know that night, sitting on that church pew when that preacher hung me out over hell, and I had been there Monday night, I had been there Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and God, it was just all preaching. Now I look back now, I got saved. It was just God prepping my heart, and he hung me out over hell that night. And I wasn't the only one that got saved, but I'm telling you what, Nick Blackburn, something changed inside of here that night. And it satisfied a quenching in my soul that has never left. It's put something in my heart. Listen to me, it put something in me that's made me lose a desire for the things of this world. It's almost made me suicidal in a way. You say, what's that? To get out of this dirt ball and get to heaven a little bit quicker. Well, listen to me. Something changed inside me. You say, what was it? The Holy Ghost of God took up residence. Jesus Christ moved in. Listen to me. It satisfied my soul. I went to church my whole life. I heard preaching my whole life. But listen to me. That night, I got a drink of the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen to me. It satisfied my soul that night. And listen to me. This world is thirsty. Those Congolese over there tonight are thirsty. Listen to me. The people here in Cambridge, Ohio tonight were thirsty. And they'll go back to the dregs of sin tomorrow. Listen to me. They'll wake up with their hangovers, and they'll wake up with their problems, and they'll go back down to the bars, and they'll go back down the street corner and buy their dope and shoot up and try to satisfy something that cannot be satisfied by this world. I've got two sisters, listen to me, they and I don't mean this ugly, but they act like it's a badge of honor to go through rehab. They've wasted their life on drugs. They have wasted their life on alcohol. They have wasted their life on the things of this world. And I try to tell them, I say, listen, if you get saved and give your life to Jesus Christ and get in the Bible, you'll get satisfied. You won't have a desire for the things of the world. Listen to me, those Congolese over there, listen to me, it's the same. They get up day in and day out, listen to me, struggling to make a dollar bill. And I said it earlier, but listen to me, I could take boatloads of money over there and give it to them every day. But listen to me, if they're going to wake up the next day hungry again, their soul's still going to be thirsty for something, and they'll die and go to hell without Jesus Christ over there. Listen to me, I want to take a drink of water to the Congo tonight. The Congolese need a drink of water tonight. Tonight I surrendered July 20th. My pastor preached out of 2 Samuel 23, and he preached on that well of Bethlehem. And listen to me, how that water, listen to me, draws men in. Christ said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Listen to me, those men drew that water out for David. And listen to me, if we'll lift up Jesus Christ, we'll draw men in. It won't be us. Our desire won't be us, but our desire will be Jesus Christ. And we'll honor and glorify Him. And people can come to the well that springs out of us and get a drink of water tonight. Listen to me, where's your Congo tonight? Where's your Congo tonight? Is it just sitting right here and saying, God, I'll just put my missions and I'll just put my tithe and I'll lift my Moses' arms and God, I'll stay right here until you want me to? Or God, I'll go. God, I'll go. Listen to me, the door is wide open. The door is, there's probably communities in this area that don't have a church. I'm talking about little towns that probably don't have a Bible-believing work in it. Oh, sure, there's some type of church there, church building. But I'm talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And people just get up every day here in America. They get up every day in Germany. They get up every day in Africa. They get up every day in Russia. Every day in China. With no peace, no happiness. And a thirsting in their soul for something. And listen to me. We're wasting our time. Because people don't want to get in their Congo and just serve God where they're at. We're standing with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. The pastor's coming. I want to close with this. Are you saved tonight? Was there a time in your life when you knew you were a lost sinner and you came and threw your hands up in surrender and said, Lord, give me to drink? And I ask you, if you have, where's your Congo tonight? Where is your Congo tonight? Pastor, thank you for the opportunity to come.
We stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed and give the Lord an opportunity to speak to our hearts tonight. We're going to take a songbook and sing a verse of invitation. We invite you to come. The altar is always as open as God's dealt with your heart, convinced you and shown you that place that He wants you to serve. Maybe He's called you to surrender to go somewhere else. Maybe He's called you to a mission field. Brother Blackburn asked me today when Matt had surrendered, and I told him back when he was a junior in high school. You don't go right away, but you get called. Maybe God is working on someone's heart to call them. Maybe God has convinced you right here is where He wants you to serve. But we know this, we need to serve the Lord. He is worthy of our service. What page do we have tonight, Brother James?
276.
Page 276 in the songbook. We're going to sing a song of invitation. You come as God's moved on your heart. Page 276.